Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
There is always something different in the air when it's the last show of the work week. And of course, this time of the year, it's not only the last show of the work week, but it's a few hours in which we get to help you usher in a football Friday. Help me help you usher in a football Friday. So we're going to say sayonara to Thursday. Though I kind of like Thursdays because for me, Thursday is my Friday. But we're going to help you get a jump start on the weekend. How does that sound? I know it sounds good. That's a rhetorical question. Don't even need to answer it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. You have caught me inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You can also find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Let's talk some football, shall we? Pretty sweet kickoff to week 15. I just don't know how this happens, and don't tell me it's rigged because it's not. I don't know how it happens that the NFL never fails to produce the drama. It's just that good all the time. Now, I know every game doesn't have a scoring change in the final 4 seconds. I get that part. And not every game ends up with a touchdown that needs to be reviewed in the final 4 seconds, or a coach going for a 2-point conversion instead of settling for overtime in the final 4 seconds. I get all that. It doesn't always look exactly like Chiefs and Chargers, but man alive, it always sucks us right back in. I have this analogy, and honestly, it reminds me of this. Every time I hear from people that they don't watch the NFL anymore, it's not that exciting, la, 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 la. Well, it may not be exciting to you, but here's what I know. If you give the NFL even a smidge of your time, whether it's a Thursday, whether it's a Sunday, it's about to be a Saturday sport too, or a Monday. Oh my gosh, we're about to have NFL games on more nights of the week than we're not, or more days of the week than we're not going to have football on days of the week. It gets so redonkulous at this point of the year. But my analogy is this. If you give the NFL even a little bit of time, and there's one play, there's one fantastic finish, there's one receiver that goes up and skies for a catch, or a Pat Mahomes ludicrous throw across his body while he's moving the opposite direction on the money, or there's a game-winning kick, something happens that gives you a thrill. It's like being on the golf course and stinking it up for 17 holes, and then on the 18th hole, you have a birdie putt. Oh, yeah. It sucks you right back in. You think that you can get free of this NFL addiction. You can't. If you even give it an iota of your time, one eyeball, it sucks you right back in because it never fails to deliver the drama. So it's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Here's the dealio, yo. We're going to run through some of what we saw between Chiefs and Chargers, some of the parts that will stick with me. And I'd love to hear from you on Twitter or on Facebook, too. And then we're going to head to Arrowhead Stadium, and we're going to get an insider's view. You know, what we haven't been able to find is any post-game reaction from the Chiefs, although right now I see Andy Reid on my television set. So I know they have spoken, of course, and we're efforting the Chiefs' reaction because this was a gut punch. This was an absolute gut punch right now. Now I see Pat Mahomes, just so you know, they're up there on the screen. And so it was one of those games that the Chiefs had won or thought they had done enough to win. Do you know in their three losses, they've had the lead in the fourth quarter all three times? Against the Patriots, against the Rams, and now against the Chargers. And so we'll go back and we'll backpedal and we'll talk about how the Chiefs built their 28-14 lead. But I kind of feel like we should cut to the chase. Let's not bury the lead. Midway through the fourth quarter, the Chiefs are up by a pair of touchdowns. Pat Mahomes had a couple of TD throws to boost his total to 45 on the season. Even without Spencer Ware, even without Sammy Watkins, they still had put 28 points on the board, which, yes, is shy of their average. But you're missing, and we're not even mentioning Kareem Hunt, right? Because this is, what, their second game without him? But the idea, though, that they've lost those three guys, Hunt and Ware and Watkins. But Damian Williams comes in, and he's kind of an Andy Reid back. He's very versatile, but he's big. He can drag guys with him. He's strong. Then you have Daryl Williams, who's out there catching passes, trying to do the same thing, just next man up, a factory line. So the Chiefs did build a 28-14 lead. But the Chargers, despite all the pressure on Phillip Rivers and the two interceptions in the first half, they were mistakes by Rivers, especially the second interception where they started the drive at their five-yard line, and they're all the way into the red zone, and then he throws a pick in the back of the end zone. That's brutal. I mean, that's soul-crushing. But in the second half, they looked a lot steadier, and despite the pressure on him, he faced a ton of pressure from the Chiefs. His O-line was not holding up in front of him. Not only was he sacked five times, but listen to this, hit a dozen other times. How about that? On at least 17 plays, he was hit. And there were other times when he was just facing pressure. And yet the Chargers figured out a way to keep the ball away from the Chiefs. Their ball control was huge. And remember, they're without Melvin Gordon, and they're using Justin Jackson. They're also without Keenan Allen. So two of their top producers, their top weapons for Phillip Rivers, are not out there. But you see Justin Jackson step up, and you see Mike Williams step up. And that was the key there in the fourth quarter, to have these two guys be go-tos for Phillip Rivers. So they get the ball back midway through the fourth quarter. They go 11 plays. They control the ball. They keep it away from Mahomes. 75 yards later, Justin Jackson has a touchdown. Now, again, he's out there trying to make up for the loss of Melvin Gordon. And then just as importantly as that touchdown that brings them within a possession, the defense forces a three and out. That was humongous. That last Kansas City possession, there's a false start on your own field. Your offense false starts. That should not happen. Not at this juncture in the game. And they get a huge sack. There were only two sacks on Pat Mahomes, but one of them came on that last drive that went three and out. So credit the Chargers defense. They did a phenomenal job, especially in the second half, of limiting the opportunities for Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So LA starts down 7 on the Kansas City 40. So good field position. Only 2.5 minutes to go. Oh my goodness, I could feel my blood pressure rising. And instead of Keenan Allen, what do? They're using Mike Williams, but they're also using Travis Benjamin. He had a pair of huge catches on that last touchdown drive.
8 seconds to play, first and goal at the 1. Rivers from the gun. Rivers pulls the trigger, near side. Caught! Mike Williams! Touchdown! Los Angeles! Phillip Rivers, a strike. And the Chargers are an extra point away from tying it up. This crowd is stunned.
Chargers working out of the gun. Rivers, he's got the snap. He looks, he floats it, end zone, wide open. Mike Williams has got it.
The Chargers are celebrating 29-28 with 4 seconds left.
So Travis Benjamin comes up with a couple of huge catches, including one on the fourth down, and then Mike Williams is the closer at the end of the game when Phillip Rivers desperately needs someone to make a play. Now, wrapped up in all of that that you don't hear with the Eye and Eagle call on the Westwood One radio network is that there was a defensive pass interference in the back of the end zone. So that happened on third and goal, and instead of having to face a fourth and goal, they get a first down courtesy of the pass interference flag, which seemed iffy. But you know what? Maybe a bit of a makeup call because Phillip Rivers had helmet-to-helmet contact on a play maybe 10 seconds before that, and there was no flag there either. And I hate the idea of makeup calls, but I do know this. The referees are human beings, and generally the calls even out. So the defensive pass interference then gives them a first and goal, and that's when Mike Williams corrals the football. He originally kind of has it in both arms, but it ends up in his left, like the nook of his elbow kind of ends up there. And it, the problem is it looks like it's moving. As he's putting his feet down, as he's dragging his feet, it looks like it's moving. And so they end up giving him a touchdown on the field, and then they go back and review it. And you want to talk about tension. 4 seconds left. Meanwhile, you see the offense go off the field and then come back on. Why? Because they're going for the 2-point conversion. Amazing. I love the call from Anthony Lynn. On the road, you're trailing by a point. You don't take the chippy, the easy kick, for the tie in overtime. Instead, you go for the win. It's all or nothing, baby. And after the touchdown is held up, there's a 2-point conversion with 4 seconds remaining. And how about this? The Chargers are the first team since the Vikings, week 15 of 2002. So 16 years ago, exactly. LA, the first in 16 years to win on a 2-point conversion in the final 10 seconds of regulation. Amazing. Now, the Chiefs do still hold the tiebreaker, even though the Chargers and the Chiefs are right now dead even atop the AFC West with the 11-3 records. There are 2 weeks to go, so everything is still on the table. Chiefs have locked up a playoff spot. The Chargers now have their first win against Kansas City since 2013, the last time the Chargers made the playoffs. Oh, there's such synergy there. So congratulations to the Chargers, who do lock up a playoff spot and are putting pressure on the Chiefs atop the AFC West. Coming up, we're going to head to Arrowhead. Certainly was a kick to the gut for the Kansas City Chiefs, who again lose when they have a fourth quarter lead. And not just a fourth quarter lead, but a 2-touchdown lead midway through that final quarter. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And also on our Facebook page, we're going to usher in a Football Friday. What did you think of Chiefs and Chargers? And what's the game you're most looking forward to this weekend in the NFL, which includes Saturday action? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
8 seconds to play, first and goal at the one. Rivers from the gun. Rivers pulls the trigger near side. Caught! Mike Williams, touchdown, Los Angeles, Phillip Rivers, a strike. And the Chargers are an extra point away from tying it up. This crowd is stunned. Chargers working out of the gun. Rivers, he's got the snap. He looks, he floats it, end zone, wide open. Mike Williams has got it. The Chargers are celebrating 29-28. With 4 seconds left.
I think it's this team. We won a close game to Seattle. We won a close game against the Titans in London. We lost a close game to Denver. We went to Pittsburgh and found the way. So I don't think there's anything this team believes we can't do. Now, that doesn't mean we're always going to do it. But I think, you know, it wasn't a very happy sideline for most of this game. But it wasn't a dejected sideline.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Phillip Rivers, because the Chargers didn't lead until the last 4 seconds of this game after the 2-point conversion following the Mike Williams touchdown. He figured prominently in the absence of Keenan Allen. Ian Eagle with the calls on the Westwood One radio network. And as Rivers says, they're resilient. Think about their last two games. Having that victory on the road at Pittsburgh when they're trailing by 16. Actually, I should say 2 weeks ago because they beat the Bengals in the middle there. But then also on the road at Arrowhead. So their last two road games have both been double-figure comebacks. Thanks so much for tuning in After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We are pleased to welcome from Arrowhead Stadium Pete Sweeney, who is the host of the pre- and post-game show on 610 Sports in Kansas City and also the managing editor for Arrowhead Pride. I hear Philip Rivers talk about how they weren't dejected on their sidelines and that they knew they had to come back. But what about the sidelines for the Chiefs once this game was over? It had to feel like a gut punch.
Yeah, it's been a different feel, I think, since a few weeks ago with all the Kareem Hunt fallout. You definitely noticed a difference between the two teams. I think it started in the Raiders game where there certainly was a little bit of a lull and only continued on to the Ravens game. A lot of people, you know, don't look at that Ravens game close enough, I think, because the Chiefs were really ready to lose this football game. It took two fourth down conversions by Patrick Mahomes for them to will them in the Ravens game, and then you get to this game, and again, they come out fast, but then as the game continued on, it just seemed like it was slowly but surely getting out of their grasp. And I think toward the end of it, you know, Philip Rivers and just the way they won, and you see the two-point conversion, receivers wide open, it just really takes the steam out of everything that was happening at Arrowhead Stadium and around Kansas City, because to be completely honest, Kansas City today earlier it felt like a party. And it felt like a foregone conclusion that the Chiefs would win the AFC West. And of course that was not the case.
Certainly the Chiefs defense at times has given up big plays, has given up points. We've seen that before against quality opponents. But what happened with them offensively, especially on that last possession where they just went three and out? They have a false start. They take a big sack, and they're off the field that quickly to give the ball back to the Chargers.
Yeah, really remarkable. And it's something I think you could look at Andy Reid. And I don't want to kill Andy Reid because I look at him, and to me, this is one of the better coaches in the history of the National Football League. But you do have to look when you're evaluating anybody, and one day he'll be judged to go in the Hall of Fame, so on and so forth, at what their weaknesses are. And to me, for Andy Reid, it's sometimes late games against good teams and clock management, and then, of course, the playoffs, you know, and that would lead you to believe, okay, big games. And you would hope, I think at that point in the game, he has Patrick Mahomes, and again, they do have some players missing, but you would hope that they would have that he would have the confidence to be aggressive and go win the football game like you would see the Chargers do a few minutes later. But yeah, got real passive there and gave the Chargers the ball back with about 3 minutes left and the timeout, and you know, you had a chance right there to win it, and instead you decided to open up the door.
Pete Sweeney joins us from Kansas City. He's the lead writer for Arrowhead Pride and the Chiefs pre- and post-game show on 610 Sports in Kansas City. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I know that, as you mentioned with the Baltimore game, it was a little dicey there because you had a drop ball by Pat Mahomes. You had, you know, the opportunity for the Ravens to come in and steal that game. And yet Mahomes talked about after they'd won how incredible it was and how you take every victory and a win is a win is a win is a win. And now how much different is it a week later?
I mean, the Chiefs are lucky to have that game because you look at the landscape of the AFC and the AFC West. If the Chiefs wind up losing that game, which they should have, right now the Chargers are in the first seed in the conference, and the Chiefs flip down all the way to the fifth seed based upon how seeding goes in the NFL. And now they're in a situation where they could win out and still maintain first overall seed. But the next matchup is a Sunday Night Football date in Seattle. And if you watch Seattle this past week on Monday Night Football, you know that's not going to be any easy win. And it just, man, it's funny because I feel like tonight's game is a microcosm of kind of how the season could be, where you think you just have it in hand the entire time, and all of a sudden it just gets taken from you.
I was impressed with the way that the Chiefs put pressure on Phillip Rivers. Not only 5 sacks, but also 12 other quarterback hits that were constantly in his face, which I guess makes their time of possession and their ball control even more impressive. But the defense certainly was able to get to him a few times and come up with a couple of turnovers.
Yeah, that's the best thing that's going on right now for the Chiefs defense. I don't think it's a very good unit, but at the same time, what they've come on in the past few weeks is with the pass rush and the front seven. Chris Jones and Dee Ford have been the best players for the Chiefs, and if the Chiefs are going to do any damage in the playoffs, they're going to need the guys, those two guys at the top of their game. And I think in the secondary, I think that's where they're really, really weak. And the thing I did notice in the first half, it was the return of Eric Berry. Eric Berry looked like a breath of fresh air when it came to tackling. I think the secondary of the Chiefs struggles to tackle, but he did leave in the second half, and it did feel like, once again, there was a lull. And, yeah, to me, the best part of the Chiefs' defense is the pass rush. That even didn't seem like it was as good as it was in the first half. Maybe it's a short week. Maybe these guys are tired. I think luckily for them, now they get 10 days off as they eventually prepare for Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, it was great to see Eric Berry. Personally, I was so happy that he was able to be back on the field. He did say that it was pre-planned that he would not play in the second half, just for people who were watching. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio with Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride from Kansas City. So the Chiefs are still in a really good position. As you point out, they still control their own fate. Who now can give them a jolt of confidence? They've taken this hit like a gut punch. Who is the guy who's going to stand up, or the guys are going to stand up and say, okay, everything that we still want is available to us?
I think it's Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. If you go back to the Kareem Hunt situation, it was a closed-door meeting that eventually was revealed by Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports, where Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid essentially stood in front of the room and said, we can still do this. I think they're going to need another jolt of energy there. And you get energy back, too, I think, from the additions of both Spencer Ware and Sammy Watkins re-entering the lineup on offense. And then if you have Eric Berry and he can actually go a full game and he's willing to try that for you, I mean, I think it will make a difference in both energy and really his on-the-field play. And so, yeah, of course, now you're in a little bit more of a daunting position where things can really unravel, but at the same time, it's still in your control. So now just set the tone and get back to Seattle, take care of business, and then all you have to worry about is the Oakland Raiders, who have been kind of the joke of the NFL Week 17.
Before I let you go, I know that it turned out to be a loss, but they did lead almost the entire game. That crowd was whipped into a frenzy. I've never been there for an NFL game before, but I have been on the sidelines for a Big 12 championship, and I will never forget the cacophony of sound or the fact that I couldn't feel my feet at halftime. But what was it like to be at Arrowhead on this primetime Thursday night atmosphere with so much on the line?
Just a loud, loud, loud atmosphere, and you could really even hear it through the television tonight. Like, to me, that's the best part of Arrowhead Stadium, is just how loud it gets. What's interesting about that is, even though it is the loudest stadium, I think, in the NFL, the Chiefs haven't been great there in big games, especially when it comes to the playoffs. Going into tonight, they had won 9 games in a row at Arrowhead Stadium. The best part, though, and I would say the coolest part more so than the noise, is as you're driving up to the stadium, it's just a cloud of different barbecue smells based upon the tailgates. Like, tailgates are a very popular thing in Kansas City, and that is the certainly the best part of it.
That's awesome. Great. Now I'm hungry, Pete. Thanks a lot. All right. You can
get yourself some food. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, you can find Pete on Twitter at PG Sween. So Pete Sweeney is the editor-in-chief, the lead writer of the Kansas City Chiefs for the Arrowhead Pride, and is also on the pre- and post-game show on 610 Sports in Kansas City. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes. Good to talk to you.
Take care.
Barbecue, great. Exactly what I need to be thinking about when it's middle of the night and there's no access to barbecue where I am, not in my studio still. He's right. Kansas City is famous for its BBQ. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I want to know, when you watch the Chiefs tonight against the Chargers and you see them take this kick to the groin, this punch to the gut, whatever analogy you'd like to use, And you realize that in their three losses, they have held the lead in the fourth quarter all three times. So again, going back to that game against the Patriots. Now, no, in that situation, it was a back and forth affair and they had to actually climb out of a hole earlier in the game, but they lose after holding the lead in the fourth quarter against the Rams. Remember that one? That's a 54-51 final, but the Chiefs had an opportunity to win. Those two were on the road. This one was in Kansas City at Arrowhead. Seems like their Achilles heel. Now, it will be great when they get some of their healthy pieces back and that pass rush, that defense is carrying its own weight. But this has got to be a concern, even though everything they want is still right in front of them. So you can find me on Twitter, again, as I mentioned, also on Facebook. Coming up, we're going to put our weekly poll out there. What's the game that you're most looking forward to the rest of the way through the weekend in the NFL? 855-212-4227. And coming up, we'll hear from both locker rooms, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Working against Steven Nelson, the timing was perfect. First down just inside the 20. Jackson back in, tight formation. They'll pitch it to Williams, circling to the right. Williams for a tackle, to the 10, to the 5. Williams is in for the touchdown. Mike Williams, a little trickery from Los Angeles. 19-yard rip, and the Chargers are right back in it.
Rivers in the shotgun. Looks to the right for Mike Williams. Throws to Mike Williams. Caught, touchdown. Touchdown, Chargers. Mike Williams with his third of the day. Shotgun snap, Rivers rolls to the right, throws to the end zone, caught! It's good! It's good! Mike Williams with the grab! Chargers lead 29-28.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What a game for Mike Williams, stepping up where Keenan Allen left a major void in his absence, and it's been a resurgent year for Williams. He's actually played really well, but this was a night in which he was going to be one of the focal points of the passing attack with Phillip Rivers. 7 catches, 76 yards, and 2 touchdowns, plus a 19-yard touchdown run that you hear with Ian Eagle on the Westwood One radio network, and then the game-winning 2-point conversion in the final 4 seconds, that coming from Matt Smith on the Chargers radio network. Yowzers! And for Mike Williams, I heard a couple of different post-game interviews with him, one of them on Westwood One, and he was talking about how he recognized that there was a responsibility that he had, along with Travis Benjamin, to make sure that Rivers had guys he could throw to and that there wasn't going to be a letdown without Keenan Allen.
So everybody felt like they needed to step up, all the receivers. I told them we was going to make the plays that needed to be made. Trav made some big plays that last drive. Tyrell made some big plays throughout the game. We just wanted to step up. You know, he wanted to play in this game. He was down, so we just wanted to go out there and fight for him.
So a little bit hard to hear with the background in the locker room, but the idea was everybody has to raise their level of play because Keenan can't be out there, and so it's up to us to make sure that the offense doesn't suffer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. What's the game you're most looking forward to? Week 15 in the NFL. We'll have a poll up very soon on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, but we'll also put the list of games, the scheduled games, on our Facebook page. I love the idea of just 2 games on Saturday. It's kind of playoff prep because that's what happens the first 2 weeks of the NFL postseason. You get a doubleheader Saturday, a doubleheader Sunday. And the reason I love it is because you only have to focus on one game at a time. I know for a lot of you, you only watch one game at a time, or maybe you stick Red Zone channel on and you just kind of watch the touchdowns. But that's the difference between being a fan and being one of us who works in the business, because if you're a fan, you can watch what you want to watch. When you work in this business during football season, you pretty much have to watch everything. So it's a lot for my brain to process. And so I'm really excited to be able to have a single-minded focus on one game at a time on Saturday. and bake cookies at the same time. All right, so you've got our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you toll-free by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. I'm going to take a couple of calls here before the top, but I want you to hear about that two-point conversion at the end. I thought it was gutsy. On the road, you're going for all or you're leaving with nothing. And to hear Philip Rivers talk about it, he actually wasn't planning on being out there for a potential two-point try.
I was gone. I was going to the sideline, going to overtime. And Coach Land said, let's go win it right now. Let's go for two. Let's go win it right now. And when he said that, there was so much conviction from him. It was, yeah, let's go win it right now. I mean, it was immediately turn around, let's go win it. I mean, and if we didn't win it, we didn't win it. But I think his conviction, it wasn't like, should we? It wasn't. It was, no, let's go win the game.
I told Kim when we got the ball, we score, get your two-point play ready. We're going for it. Yeah.
I told him. Make sure you've got that two-point call ready, because if we score, we're going for it. And then Philip Rivers before that, talking about the conviction. And I like that. Confidence breeds confidence. If your head coach is standing on the sideline and he says, go back out there, Philip, he probably doesn't call him that. Go back out there. What do you call him? Rivers? Phil?
I'm on the sideline.
Get your butt back out there, because we're going to go win it. That's really cool. So Coach Lynn having the confidence in his offense, and why not when you have a quarterback like Philip Rivers? I'm telling you what, that fourth down throw that he flipped out to Travis Benjamin, and it was great coverage by Kendall Fuller. It's not like Fuller was out of position. It just was a perfect throw, the right trajectory, flat and out in front of Benjamin so that nobody else could get to it except for Travis. A fourth down throw. He had another huge throw to him earlier on that last drive. And I know he had a couple of really poor decisions in the first half, and they resulted in interceptions, but that was vintage Rivers in the second half. Though he praises the defense, and the defense deserves that praise. That three and out to get the Philip Rivers offense back on the field in the fourth quarter late was huge. And how about Joey Bosa? I know it didn't show up with a lot of numbers. I think he had one tackle and one QB hit, but he requires double teams or you're going to get burned.
Team effort. I mean, our defense, very opportunistic at the right time. Hey, this is it. We got no more. We got to have a stop right now or this thing's going to get out of hand. You know, we had a couple of those situations and they came up big. And, I mean, that offense, I know they weren't on the field as much as they're used to being on the field, but they didn't have 300 yards offense.
They did not. That's a great point. And he credits the defense for that, which is huge. But I'll go back to what I've said about the Ravens lately. One of the reasons why they're sticking with Lamar Jackson as their quarterback, by controlling the ball, and this is without Melvin Gordon, who obviously can do so much with the football in his hands, but by controlling the ball and keeping it for 4.5 minutes, 6.5 minutes, 8 minutes at a time. Do you know there were four drives for the Chargers tonight that lasted at least 11 plays and more than 4.5 minutes? They dominated time of possession. And you hear Rivers talk about the fact that we didn't give the Chiefs as many opportunities. Well, that helps the defense remain fresh and have active legs late in the game, which means they can make plays and they can continue to pursue the quarterback, even though it's late fourth quarter, because they're not nearly as spent. They haven't had to work nearly as hard because the offense has allowed them more time to rest. I mean, that's so critical. It's a team sport. It all goes together.
Yeah, no more.
After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So what was the issue according to Andy Reid, who saw a 14-point lead slip away in the fourth quarter?
I think it's this team, dude.
This is a tough one. And but you gotta be, you know, in this business, you gotta be resilient. You gotta learn from your mistakes. That's what's real. And if we do that, we're a pretty good team. But you have all these penalties here, it's a problem.
It definitely was. And I will say this, on the last two Chargers offensive drives, and actually the last Chiefs scoring drive, did it not feel like there was a flag every single time that there was a play made or an attempted a play? If you look at the team stats, which is cumulative between the Chiefs and the Chargers, you stack them up next to each other. Do you know that there were 8 first downs courtesy of penalties? That's a lot. At least it seems like a lot to me. So 8 first downs that were just by way of a penalty. And that includes the defensive pass interference on the back of the end zone, the 3rd-and-goal attempt with, 8 seconds to go in the game before the Chargers got a 1st-and-goal. Now, they would have gone for it on 4th down, but still, the 1st-and-goal is what they got by virtue of that DPI. So that was Andy Reid. And I appreciate also that he's thinking about how do we recover? How do we now come back from losing this game to a division opponent on our own field?
This is a tough one, and but you got to be, in this business, you got to be resilient. You got to learn from your mistakes. That's what's real. And if we do that, we're a pretty good team. But you have all these penalties here, it's a problem.
After the top of the hour, we'll hear from Pat Mahomes because he spoke about both the Chargers defense as well as what happened late in the game when they couldn't hold that lead and couldn't keep the ball away from Philip Rivers. 855-212-4227. Vaughn is listening in the Bay Area. Vaughn, welcome to After Hours.
How's it, Amy? How you doing?
Good.
Awesome. Pretty killer game, by the way, for a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I was very excited about the Charger game this week. Thought it was probably the most significant win for the L.A. Chargers since they moved up, quote-unquote, north about 90 minutes. Easy to say they've only been there a year and a half or 2 years now, but huge win so far in their early existence back to L.A.
I would say the game in Pittsburgh was extremely important, too, and that's their last 2 road games.
Absolutely. Just totally snowballed into this one. As far as kind of talking about Rivers, he was kind of the veteran of this game, and you got the other side, the new up-and-coming guy. But even though, like you said, you alluded to, Rivers made his mistakes, savvy old veteran, came through at the end, and he's been knocking on the door for about 4 or 5 years. So I think he kind of it was his time was due. Let's put it that way. If you're playing the odds, as far as the games I'm looking forward to this week, I really look forward to this one. But now after this one's done, I'm looking forward to Baltimore, Indianapolis, and Minneapolis. Minneapolis. Kind of want to kind of clear the field out here and see who's in the playoffs and who's not. And lastly, but not least, I just want to say.
Wait, did you say who's going to play us?
No, not us. No, just kind of Baltimore, Indianapolis, and Minneapolis. Just all 3 of those games this Sunday or Saturday. I just kind of want to see what the playoff picture kind of clearing it up a little bit.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about these 3 weeks left is that there's so much still on the line.
Yeah, absolutely. But kind of some of those 3 games will kind of clear it up a little bit, wins or losses with those teams. That'll be kind of fun to see where we're at with a couple weeks left.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of looking forward to that. And then kind of now that we're on the Charger bandwagon super quick, just kind of want to give a quick shout out.
What happened to him? Sorry, Vaughn. I was listening. I was paying attention. I don't know if your phone cut out or we lost you. I'm sorry about that. But anyway, we kind of got the gist. I'm glad that you're excited about the Chargers. And yes, we have a lot here that's going to play out, not just week 15, but then week 16, which is going into Christmas Eve. Actually, I'll be doing my show from Houston next Sunday night into Monday, which is December 23rd into December 24th. And that's week 16. And then, of course, the weekend after that is just before we start the new year. Woo! And by then, we hope we'll have more of a playoff picture. But this is a mad dash to the finish line in these final 3 weeks. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We'll get your show poll up fairly quickly. Also on our Facebook page, we're cruising toward the weekend After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.